One syllable, two. My L. Not my Elohim. That's how he revealed himself to Abraham, as El Shaddai, the mighty one. Exodus 17:16. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. The word Lord there is Yah. And the second Lord is, so you got Yah and Jehovah in the same verse. But you see the Lord and the Lord, and guess what? Jehovah and Jehovah. And then Haya, because it comes from to become. Three times in the year, all thy males shall appear before the Lord God. The word for God there in Exodus 23:17, it's guess what? Jehovah. You see that? The word for God. Not Lord, God. Now, if you look at the usage there, you'll know that four times in the King James, four times in the Old Testament, the word God translates into Jehovah, not Elohim and not El. Which comes from to become. Now, Three times in the year all thy males shall appear before the Lord God. The word Lord there is Adonai. Adonai, my master. That's what it means. And notice, let's just read it through. Firm, strong, Lord, master. Lord, master, reference to men, a superintendent of household affairs, master, king, reference to God, the Lord God, Lord of the whole earth, lords, kings, reference to men, proprietor of Heel of Samaria, master, husband, prophet, governor, prince, king, reference to God, Lord of lords, probably thy husband, Yahweh. My Lord, my master, reference to men. So anytime you will see Yahweh in the Old Testament, is connected to what? Adonai. Adonai. And the vowel pointings from Adonai associated with Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh comes to Yahweh. And this is where individuals would make the argument that his name is Yahweh, which I don't buy. And now there's another, the Lord God, three times in the year, all thy males, we read that, but in Exodus 34:23, thrice in the year shall all your men children appear before the Lord God, God of Israel. So the Lord there is Adon. Again, this is the vowel pointing for Yahweh. Adon. That's the Lord. The God there is Jehovah. So you got God in this verse twice. One G-O-D cap, one G-O-D lowercase, and it's two different words. But if you don't pay attention again, And then the third is Elohim. So what you have is Adon, Jehovah, Elohim. Now we could go further with that, but I chose to not. And what it really boils down to is that over the time from the beginning where the Almighty reveals himself in his creation up until the New Testament period. And here's where it really gets tricky. In the Greek, there is no distinction between the Lord God and the Lord Yeshua, because it's all capital L, lowercase O, lowercase R, lowercase D. This leads people who read the New Testament to think that everywhere they see Lord, it is Yeshua. When in fact, anytime you see Lord as it is written, and it says as it is written, what is that saying to you? That this is going back to a particular passage in the scripture. And when you search out as it is written, because we find these words in certain letters, whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a quote. Whosoever call on the name of the Lord, as it is written, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But what a person will read, if I call on the name of the Lord Jesus, and there are several places in the New Testament where the word Lord is written, but it's not referring to the Lord Yeshua, it's referring to Jehovah. And if you don't know better, you will come away with the wrong instructions, the wrong translation, the wrong interpretation. And this is how, see, when Yeshua said to these Pharisees, because he know how they've been trained. He know how they've been trained. People in church are trained in traditions. People in church are trained culturally. So there is cultural association, and if you think I'm lying, just go to an ethnic church and listen to the music. And you say the black church and the white church. Black church music ain't the same as the white church music. Black church music got some thump to it. Make you want to rock. In the suburban churches, oh my God, he's an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above. No, our God is an awesome God. He reigns. Put some oomph in that. And so the culture has a tendency to affect the translation, and the translation based on the culture is where people get their worldview. This is how they see the world through their biblical cultural definition. You see. And we can't be tied into or locked into something like that. What we want to do. So when Yeshua is talking to these individuals, he knew that they'd been trained in culture. He knew they'd been trained in tradition. He even called them out. He says, you know, you for your traditions, you know, you make the word of God of no effect. Moses gave you the law, but none of you keep it. Why is he saying, I mean, if these guys are calling or using Moses' writings, Why would he tell them, Moses gave you the law, but none of you keep it? What are you being trained in? Now, you tell a person that in the New Testament, just because they see the law, they associate the law to what? The commandments. They make no connection to the Talmud. They make no connection to the traditions of men. They make no connections to the law that the Pharisees wrote or the law that the Sadducees wrote. And so they see law and it's all go back to we ain't under the law. Well, what law are you talking about? Well, what do you mean, what law are you talking about? There's more than one law in the New Testament writings. Yeshua distinguished it. You guys are teaching for commandments. You're teaching for commandments. What do you mean you're teaching for commandments? You're teaching the laws of men. You're teaching for commandments, the traditions of men. And you're making the commandments of God of no effect. And here's another distinction that when we think about it, we say commandments, but the commandments are the law. The commandments are in the law. And one of the things that I experienced early on is messianics wanting to take a gentle approach and saying, don't say law, brother. Say instructions. It's a lot more palatable. God's instructions. See, when you say law, you turn people off. And I be the first one, the law. Now the instructions, brother, the law. Instruction, the law. Because you know what? If you go before that judge, Uptown Charlotte, they ain't gonna be looking for commandments. You never hear nobody say, nobody is above the commandments. Is nobody is above what? The law. And for some reason, to carnal-minded people, saying the law as it relates to government don't have the same kind of turnoff as the law as it relates to God. And these are supposed to be the people of God. Why do the people of God hate the law of God so much? I don't get it. It's too restrictive. You know, it interferes with my free will. Your free will is going to end up in the lake of fire with you. So I think I'm going to, well, let me just finish that thought, that when Yeshua said to these individuals that you really need to search the scriptures. You need to search the scriptures because they're talking about me. And you have to ask yourself, well, where is they talking about him? And we'll look at the limited verses where, you know, Moses wrote that God said he's going to raise up a prophet from amongst the brethren. And we will have to listen to him or shema him. And anyone who does not obey him, it will be... What did he say? It would be required of them. In other words, what it means is that you better have another plan of salvation. And it better sell. Because it's going to be required of you if you don't receive him. Now, the interesting thing is that that particular verse was not just referencing Yeshua. It was all the prophets. God will raise up a prophet like unto your brethren. He was talking about all the prophets. Why? Because when the prophets spoke, they spoke as God. When the prophets spoke, They didn't just speak randomly. God spoke to them, and they spoke to the people what thus said the Lord. It wasn't thus said Jeremiah or thus said. It was thus said Jehovah. So if you don't listen to the prophet who is speaking for me, it will be required of you. You'll be on your own. You'll be standing up in front of me at judgment without any representation. No advocate. Let's see. And so, when it comes down to it, as Yeshua says, search the scriptures. They speak of me. And it's not just in those limited passages that when you look up the salvation, when you look up salvation, there's two words that you wanna look up, and we'll get into some of that hopefully if Father leads me next week. In Jeshua, that's a name in the Old Testament, and salvation. So I'm giving you a little heads up. And when you begin to search these teachings or search these passages, and you get tedious, because oftentimes when you're dealing with the word of Jehovah, it's a tedious, tiresome work. It's intense. And you know, when you're looking at jots and tittles, because every jot and tittle make a difference. You look at it, you see a little dot. And you have no idea. That dot in this place means this. But if you put that dot here accompanied with another dot, then you got a whole different construct. And some, yeah, is right there. Anyway, Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your word as always. And we know that your word is life and your word is truth. You said that we shall know the truth. The truth will make us free. And yet there'll be those who reject the truth. Let that not be named among us. Let us be a people that we don't get stuck. Because we know that we don't know all that there is to know, even now, as learned as we are. We know that there are hidden things. There are things that you have not made known, and that only them who have eyes to see and ears to hear do you make it known. But you also said that there are things that eyes haven't seen nor ears heard. And we know that as we continue in our walk, in our growth, in our searching, in our understanding, as you enlighten us and reveal to us those things that you will have us to know, help us to be a people that can make the adjustments and adapt as you lead us. Help us not to see through our own religious eyes, but to allow your eyes to guide us, make us sensitive to your voice, sensitive to the prompting of your spirit, the leading of your spirit. Cause us to be diligent in recognizing how you communicate with us. Father, we know that we're all in different places and in different phases in our journey. But we all know that you're on this journey with us. And so again, help us to be sensitive to your presence. sensitive to your leading, sensitive to your guidance, that we all end up where you have predestined us to be. In Messiah Yeshua, amen. All right, well, that brings this to a close. We're going to give you an opportunity to give, and then we're going to open up for questions after some brief announcements. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Father, for the tediousness of searching, because we know that as we search, as Yeshua said, we will find, and especially we will find you in the search. Help us to search and to seek and to be diligent about it, to operate in faith, to be led by your Spirit. And as we prepare our hearts to give, we pray your blessings upon our gifts, on our giving, on our tithe, on our offerings. We ask, Father, that none lack as a result of their giving, but to the contrary, that the windows of heaven, the blessings of heaven, the treasures of heaven manifest themselves in our presence, in our midst. Bless us that we might be a blessing, and then show us to whom we are to be a blessing to. Thank you. In Messiah Yeshua. Amen. At this time, we're going to pass the basket for those of you who are joining us online. Now, those of you who are having who have questions or comments or prayer requests, please, on arthurbaileyministries.com, you can go there, and that's where you'll find where you can make your requests and submit your questions. Amen. arthurbaileyministries.com. Also, on our website, for those of you who desire to support our ministry, and we encourage you to do so, on our website, arthurbaileyministries.com, if you go there, you can go to the ways to give or to the donate area section on our website, and it will bring you to this page, and there you'll find that there are five ways that you can give, where 100% of your contribution comes to us, and that is by using Zelle, Venmo, Cash App, Bill Pay, or you can send your check or money order in the mail to P.O. Box 1182, Fort Mill, South Carolina, 29716. Other ways you can give, you can support us through PayPal using the PayPal Me, House of Israel, U.S. You can wire funds from your bank. Simply call us for the information. You can call your donation in during office hours. You can text to give. You simply text 704-810-1579 and then what you want to give toward. And if you're in Canada, you can use the Canadian donation link at the bottom or in the middle of that page. And if you're wondering why you want to give, then you could see why give to our ministry. Just take some time and peruse that page. Amen. Whatever method you choose to give, we appreciate your giving. Amen. With that, we have some announcements, and then we'll open the mics.
Well, greetings, brethren.
Greetings.
You know, this past Thursday, the new moon was sighted in Israel. So at sunset this past Thursday started the eighth biblical month. So we're on our way to the early feast, slowly but surely. Our corporate prayer and share for the souls in our families and nations is from sunset this evening until sunset tomorrow evening. So please join us in our corporate prayer. Hey, I know a lot of you like social media. Don't forget, we have several Facebook pages, and they are private. So if you want to join them, just request it via contact us. We've got the family chat, biblically clean cooking, and discipleship 101 accountability fellowship. Don't forget, we're also on YouTube, Twitter, X, and TikTok. And don't forget to get the Arthur Bailey Ministries app for your smart devices. And with that, Shalom Shabbat.
Amen. All right, well, the mics are open. Yes, ma'am.
Shabbat Shalom, family.
Shabbat Shalom.
Once again, it's good to be here. It was a tussle getting here this morning, but I was praying every step of the way.
Amen.
Father, help me. Help me to get up. Father, help me. Help me to do this. I mean, every step of the way, I was praying because the enemy say, you don't need to go. You're tired. You can't find nothing to put on. I must have changed my clothes about 3 different times, but I knew it was a warfare that was going on. So every time he was bombarding my mind with something, I would start praying. Okay, Jehovah, I rebuke that. No, I'm getting out of here. I mean, it was a warfare, but I am here. And praise Jehovah, once again, it is good to be here. I give Jehovah all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Do not take it lightly when Jehovah wakes us up and gives us breath and strength to press, to move on, to do those things which he would have us to do. Let us not take it lightly. Jehovah is always worthy to be praised. And I thank him. It is good to be here. Praise Jehovah. I just want to say this teaching today was awesome. It helped connect a lot of dots for me. Because in my study, I saw all these different things that Apostle spoke about this morning and how he was breaking it down. I referred it to as like, you know, in math, sometimes you have to break it down to the lowest common denominator. That's what he did this morning. He broke that thing down, and I couldn't write fast enough, so this is going to be one of those teachings that I may have to go back 2 or 3 times to just get it all in and let it soak and stuff. But I saw all of this before, and when I would see it, I would say, okay, over here is, And that's all I could say was, I wonder why, But today, I will use him to break a lot of things down, and I'm grateful for it, because in all of our getting, we have to get an understanding. And I just couldn't pull it all together, but I will use apostles this morning, and I'm very, very grateful for this teaching, and I will be going back over it no matter how many times it takes to get it all absorbed. I'll do it, because as I gave testimony one time before when he had a teaching, and I couldn't grasp that teaching. It was an overload. I had to go back 3 times and listen to this teaching. I think they had 5 parts to it. I had to go back 3 times to listen to that thing, to study, for me to get it all into my spirit to fully understand. So I will be going back to this teaching to get it all in. I thank Jehovah for more understanding of his word. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Thank you. No questions.
We have no questions at this time, but we do have comments.
Good. Oh, okay.
The first comment comes from Elizabeth. Shabbat Shalom, family.
Shabbat Shalom, Elizabeth.
Yes, author, that's a B in family. Love you all so much. So blessed to be with the saints on Abba's holy day.
Amen. Yes, ma'am.
Shabbat Shalom, everybody.
Shabbat Shalom.
I am going to be a wonderful message, by the way. I agree with Sister Cynthia. I definitely have to go back and listen to it again. I'm going to be reading a testimony today from Rosalind and Mark Coleman. Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, saints. My husband and I sent a question in regards to how to get our children, 3, 6, and 10 years old, to sit and listen to the teaching so that they would hear and learn. We have a baby as well, but the baby is too small right now. Sister Sharon received our question and directed us to another sister. She and I talked on the phone about this, and she gave me some very helpful and effective advice. My husband and I would get very frustrated and stressed out because they would not sit still, be quiet, and let us hear. I knew there was some way to get them to sit and do this. We just didn't know how to do this. I had prayed and asked Jehovah to find a solution to give this challenge we were faced with. My husband and I didn't want to ignore it and allow our children to be wild or have no structure. So it was really bothering us. I told my husband, there must be a way. There has to be a way to address this issue. The children at HOI have to sit and be quiet. I know our children can do this, but how? My husband and I talked about it, but had not been able to find the solution. On the Day of Atonement, my husband and I applied the new advice right away. We talked to the children and explained what we were expecting of them and how they can sit still, obey, and listen. They all had some negative feelings about this, but knew they weren't going to get out of this new training they had that we decided to do. Once we applied the new principles and expectations, we saw change happening right away. This was great, yet I thought, are they even listening? Yes, they are quiet and still, but are they listening? While we were all quiet and sitting, I heard one of the children repeat something Brother Arthur was saying. I looked over quickly and smiled, feeling so encouraged. Later, another one of our children asked the question, what does he mean? And another question from another child. I was praising Jehovah and thanking him. My husband even noticed a big difference in our Sabbath, and we loved it. During last Sabbath, the teaching about what is clean, they struggled more with sitting and being quiet, but we disciplined them as needed and reminded them that we are sitting and we are being quiet. So now they took us seriously and they tried harder to obey. We know they will not always have easy days, but we are teaching them that they still need to do their best, even when it's challenging. We tell them Father asks us to do and give our best, and that reminds us to help them to reflect and do better. On this same Sabbath, as Brother Arthur was closing the teaching and praying, of course, our baby started playing and babbling loudly. To my surprise, before I could even turn around to address his loudness, our three-year-old very nicely touched the baby's hand and said, "Shh, he's praying. We don't need to play and be loud right now." He stopped for a few seconds and started playing with, He stopped for a few seconds and started to play with her. And then she smiled and again touched him and said, no, brother, it's not time to play. Shh, let's be quiet. Praise Jehovah. He looked at her and became very serious, stopped shaking his rattle, and just quietly continued to stand, and he stayed quiet the whole time. It is such a blessing. Even the Father has helped us with the little ones. Amen. This new approach has shown us the answer to our prayers and questions on how to train or teach them to sit still, listen, and obey. Even our three-year-old knows and understands what we expect of her is now helping teaching her baby brothers. It is so good how Jehovah works, and it is amazing how training the children can be done even at a young age.
Amen.
For those who have little ones or even children of any age, here's this testimony and know it can be done. Like in everything, we do trust in the ways of Jehovah. He sees what we desire. And if you are struggling with getting the children to obey, sit and listen, or just have structure in their everyday life, know that it can be done. It is not impossible. It can be challenging, yes. But just like we tell our children, they can do it, so can we as adults. We can train them. We need to train ourselves also to be diligent and not let up when it comes to challenging things. We got this parents and guardians. We got this because Jehovah is giving us the tools for everything we do. Philippians 4 and 13, I can do all things through Messiah, which strengthens me. Proverbs 22 and 6, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. 2 Timothy 3 and 15, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Messiah. As I walk in this narrow path and this life with Jehovah, I see and realize he has answered all these things that are heavy on my heart, the heart of marriage, and even the heart of our children. He truly doesn't leave anyone out. I encourage all parents to train your children. It will not come back void, and you will feel the stress come down and away from your family and your life. Shabbat Shalom. That's Mark and Rosalind.
Amen.
All right. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
This is another message from Rosalind. And that's a word for the people, and it reads, from Rosalind, here's a word for the people, including myself. Let's listen to Jehovah's words. Do not be jealous and do not covet over these gifts I gave you, but use them for my good. Grow in me, follow me, put the gifts I gave to you to good use to glorify me. Oh, children, how stubborn you can be. Stop your evil ways, for I truly love you and want good things for you. Honor me in all you do, and all you do with your wives, children, husbands, strangers, or even the wicked. Do good. Use my gifts to care for one another, to guide, teach, and bring up those who are down and dismayed. Work as a unit, and you will overcome the evil one. Don't back down and become fearful. I did not make you to be fearful, yet I made you to be courageous and bold and kindness. See the things I give you. You ask for things just as in the days of Moses, and I answer. Yet you do not obey what I tell you or use my gifts as I instruct. Help your brothers and sisters and be blessed, for I have given you everything you desire and more. You lack nothing. Be wise, not foolish. Seek my wisdom. I have so many blessings for the obedient. Just obey me. Jehovah is showing me so many things. I thank you, Jehovah. Praises to your name, Jehovah. We all need to strap up for battle, HOI. Get right with him. We are stronger than the devil. Jehovah just said right now, he has given us everything we need and more. Come on, stand strong. Choose his way, not our way, not the way of the world. The world will pass away, but he will not. Be blessed. Embrace him. And let's be pleasing to him. Shabbat Shalom. Blessings to you all. Rosalind.
Amen. Amen.
We have a comment from Pam. I am thankful for this teaching today, just to be pointed in a direction of studying and reading of the Bible, because I received lots of AI and non-AI clips claiming to clarify the true name of the Lord.
Amen.
Bashalom.
Bashalom, brother.
Thankful for the teaching. It's great, formative, and deep in the word. And like you say, it's tedious. We got to get deep in it. Transparency for me. I was 10 toes down with Jehovah, Yah, and Yahuwah. Thankful for the teaching that I trust the Most High to lead us all to one understanding of this truth. I see in the Messianic community, I think I know now, at least 14 names that they call God. And it causes more contention and arguing and fighting and debating than it does unity and brotherhood. This is really sad to see, because it causes people to divide and separate themselves in relationships. There are not too many Hebrews out here, but when we run into one, they will, you know, it's sad to see relationships that you could have had with a brother in because of a pronunciation. I did want to ask a question, let you elaborate. I wanted to know, you spell it Yeh, Y-E-H, over, or Yah, Y-A-H, over. Is that a distinction without a difference, or is that a true distinction that we have to elaborate on? My last question, then I'm going to sit down. When you say they have the name Jehovah in the Bible, that's in their scriptures, my understanding that I've been going by is that is something that was placed there by the translators, the Roman translators, because when the book was written, the letter J, or the English language, didn't exist. So I automatically excluded anything with a J. So I just wanted you to elaborate on that. Shabbat shalom.
Yeah. There are quite a few conversations. I don't call them arguments anymore. I call them conversations. And these conversations are heady and they're logical. The people who use Yahovah are usually people who have used Yahweh. And the understanding is that the name Yah, based on the shortened form, that it only translates into Yahovah. So the Yahovah comes from typically people who use the Yahweh. However, when you look at the actual English vowel points or the actual English vowels, you'll see it's an E. And therefore, the E, it's Yehovah versus Yahovah. But people, again, they use it for that reason. And then to your first question, it was, what was that first question again? Oh, that was the first. Oh, the J. The second one was the J. The J is another one of those arguments about whether or not the English language and the J, because this argument people will use when it relates to the name of Jehovah. However, anywhere you see a J is typically from the Greek I or the Hebrew Y, and what you get is Jesus, and Jesus. As far as, you know, I've really tried to search out this argument about the J in the language, and I haven't been able to find an origin for it. And whenever I can't find an origin for something, I have to question, where did it come from? Because most everything, every word, and then the English language is a compilation of a variety of languages and phrases from different Germanic, there's another Slavic. There's a lot of languages, if you would, that make up the English language. And the English language we speak, as my European friend told me, that we don't speak English, we speak American. That when it comes down to English, we don't know proper English. And that's some truth to that. You see, because, you know, they were speaking English, and here's the thing, one of the reasons why I refer to the if I can find it, one of the reasons why I like referring to the 1611 King James is because it has the Old English. And in the Old English language, there is no J. So, you know, in that regard, one could make an argument. But then when it comes to the Hebrew, and see, the idea is that the J came from the English, and that there was no letter J in the Hebrew. And that's another one of the arguments that that people have a tendency to make. Now, when I think about that particular argument, then it causes me to now have to think about changing. There's a lot of names, Hebrew names, that starts with the J. I mean, we say Jacob, some will say Yaakov. You say Judah, some will say Yehuda, Yehudai, Jerusalem. And when it comes down to, because one of the, when I think about the Paleo language, which is where the Hebrew translations or the Hebrew script, that it goes back, and there was a combination. In one of the references that I referred to, it has the Hebrew and Chaldean, which is a part of the Hebrew. There's Chaldean, there's Canaanite, there is Philistine, there is Aramaic. There's all these languages that are infused in what we call the Hebrew language. Now, Abraham spoke what language? He was from Ur of the Chaldee. So I would be challenged to say that Abraham actually spoke Hebrew. I would conclude that if he's from Ur of the Chaldeans, that the language he would have spoken would have been the language the Chaldeans spoke. And so that means that all of the Chaldeans spoke Hebrew, which the Chaldean had their own language. But then when he came into the Canaan, the land of Canaan, and here's the thing, because the way my mind, I'm telling you, I keep saying the way my mind works, sometimes it's like, okay, I'm very tedious. I'm not a tedious person, but I'm tedious when it comes to detail. I see stuff other people may not see or look over or pass by, you know. And so when I look at Abraham, Abraham came from Ur. He traveled from Ur of the Chaldees to Haran. He traveled from Haran across the Jordan into Canaan. And he's having relationship with Adullamites. And I know all of these people have different language. So Abraham had to have spoken Chaldean, Aramaic, Canaanite, unless they all spoke Hebrew. Because if you got someone coming from one country to another country to another country and then have relationships with someone in a different region, either they all spoke Abraham's language or Abraham spoke all their languages. Because what you don't see is you don't see a translator. With that mindset, one could say that everybody in the Bible spoke Hebrew, including the Egyptians. Because the Hebrews were in Egypt. So did the Hebrews speak Egyptian, or did the Egyptians speak Hebrew? Or were there translators? Now, that's the only place in the written word where I see there's a use of a translator between two people communicating. When Joseph's brothers went up, he had a translator speaking to them in Hebrew. He spoke Egyptian to the translator. The translator spoke Hebrew to Joseph's brothers. Why? Because they couldn't speak what? Egyptian. The Egyptian language is not the Hebrew language. You understand what I'm saying? And if you don't see it, you won't see it. Because these individuals, there's a whole lot of communication going on in the Old Testament with people from different countries. And the assumption is that they all spoke the same language. We know the Almighty scattered the people and confounded the language so they couldn't communicate with one another. But we've been sold some goods that everybody in the Old Testament spoke Hebrew, and I don't buy it. I don't buy it. I just can't get with that. What I see is the translations of these various languages going through a process, because the Paleo Hebrew was a combination of different languages spoken in the area by the various tribes during that time. That's why Paleo in this community and its dialect would be a little bit different than the Paleo in that community and its dialect. Just like, you know, here in America, we have the mother tongue is English, but mostly everybody speak English except people who come from other countries who have to learn to speak English. But you can go into South America, and what you'll find is a variety of languages amongst the Hispanic community. And though they all can speak, you know, in Kenya, the mother tongue is Swahili. But there's hundreds of, no, there's not hundreds in Kenya. There's over 32, 36 different languages that are spoken by Kenyans. And within those 32 languages, I think it's 32, there are variety of dialects amongst those people. It was the same in Canaan. You got Jebusites, Amalekites, Amorites, Hittites. And the assumption is that they all spoke the same language because you see them kind of communicating in one sense. But what and we forget the fact that the Almighty confounded the language so that people could not communicate. So, somebody gives us a Bible that has translated all these tongues into Hebrew. And now somebody say, well, if you really want to understand the Bible, what you really want to do is that you want to understand the Hebrew. And I say, well, which one? And I'm not being facetious about it because, see, one thing I do understand is that these people spoke different tongues. And I'm not talking about supernatural tongues. I'm talking about languages where they could not communicate with one another. And yet everybody is communicating like there's no language barrier whatsoever. The lines have been blurred. The communities have been blurred. The ethnicities and nations, because that word nation there deals with people that are goyim or people that are from other nations. So you have to have an interpreter. You have to have a translator for there to be communication between these people. And not one time in the entire Torah, except when the boys go to Egypt to meet their brother, do we actually see there is an interpreter in the mix. That's just common sense. Yes.
Shabbat shalom, Saints Shabbat of shalom, the Most brother. High. All right, great to be here today. Great to see everyone and all you online people, my brothers and sisters. I want to start off with a few questions and then I'll...
A few questions.
Yes. Meaning two or three, maybe. We'll see. And then I'll, you know, speak to what stood out to me. All right. So my first question is, from what I see, Hebrew became a lost language as far as being spoken.
Paleo. Yeah.
Okay, only paleo. Okay, because now I was thinking that when the nation of Israel became a nation in 1948, I've read some things that said that they kind of reintroduced Hebrew as a language and put Yiddish influence into it. Do you know anything about that?
Well, the Yiddish that people are referring to came from Germany. The Yiddish is a Germanic language with a Hebrew twist and is spoken by certain Hebrews or Jews or some called Khazarians. It all depends on what book you've read and who you're listening to. And these books and these informations, because I've read I've read books that influence the language sometimes, and the writing is so compelling. And the only problem is that there's no way you can search out whether that stuff is true. So you're at the mercy of the author. And then when you try to search back a thing, you'll find that it all traces back to this author. I'll never forget, I read a book, one book, and it had several other books in the bibliography, but they were all written by the same author. So now you got somebody referencing themselves in their writing or referencing the book they wrote. And it's like, okay, because this is how professional academia is supposed to behave, giving reference to the source. But oftentimes the source ain't the source. Like the NASB concordance. They want to give the source to the Brown's driver Briggs, when in actuality giving no reference to the actual source. Now that's academics for you. And so this is one of the reasons why in everything that I find to be of any importance, I want to search the origin. Where did it come from? Who created it? Who started it? Because if I can find the origin of it, I can get the spirit. I can get an understanding of what is trying to be, you know, communicated. And there's a lot of deception when it comes to religion. That's why we're so divided. And so you add that to the language and the interpretation, and then the line pins of the scribes taking things out, putting things in, creating more rules, creating more laws. And next thing you know, it's like, you know, this is too confusing. Let the preachers go to seminary. Come and y'all go talk to God and come tell us in your sermon what he said. And that's what we'll do. And so you got all these different denominations and all these different leaders and all these different religions. So I'm trying to search, because to me, this ain't about preaching. It's really not about preaching. For me, it's about living. I need to know how to live. And I have found that my life, I tried to live holy as best as I understood holy as a Christian. But I didn't understand holy as a Christian. I understood Christianity. I understood what my churches and every and watching it change from church to church to denomination, it's like, hey, wait a minute, something's wrong here. How can we all be children of God, but we're not all children of God? So this is what took me on the path. And you know what? The only promises that I have found that are sustainable type promises in the New Testament is the idea that when we die, we're going to heaven. Now, that's how I was taught. But whenever I start looking for blessings and prosperity, I can only find it in the Old Testament. I can only find the instructions for blessings and prosperity in the Old Testament. The blessings and prosperity I find in the New Testament church comes from giving tithes. Because if you give your tithe, God will bless you. If you don't, you're stealing from him. And that's the premise of the blessing. But I'm going to tell you, you know, when I started searching out Torah, here's what I found. I found a creator that was serious about his creation. And they used to tell me in the church that the Bible is biblical instructions before leaving earth. How many of you heard that one? Biblical instructions, Bible, B-I-B-L-E, before leaving earth. Where are you going? Heaven. So what's the instructions? Because are you talking about the New Testament part of the Old Testament part, or are you talking about all of it? And so from the beginning, even as children, there's this whole ball of confusion. As a child, watching adults practice their Christianity, it's like, what they doing? So I've been searching, not so I can come and teach y'all stuff, but so I can learn how to live. Because I need to learn how to live as a man. I need to learn how to live in the earth with all these different people around me. I need to learn how to live with people who don't like me. I do. People who are trying to get my stuff or his stuff. Folks who hate me. I would love to tell you everybody like me, but that ain't true. And I got to learn how to get along with them too. Amen. Yes, sir. You've been there for a while. I'm going to let it go now.
You know, it seems like the enemy just tries to bring so much in to bring confusion. Because, like, you know, like with the whole amen thing, you know, amen is some kind of God. You know, God, that's a kind of, you're saying Baal. I mean, there's just like, it seems like for everything, there's like some kind of people, you know, there's some kind of evil intent or something is tied to evil if you say it the wrong way or do it like that. So it's just crazy how there's just so much.
It's control and manipulation.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's witchcraft.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to wade through those waters.
How can you be trying to control people when the gospel sets us free?
Amen.
Trying to tell people how to live their life. That ain't your job.
All right, so my next question is concerning the